Good morning, everyone. Great to be with y'all. If you don't mind joining me in prayer real quickly before we go into the Lord's Word together. Oh, Father in heaven, I ask that you open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your law. Lord, I ask that you teach us and you instruct us, shaping us in the image of Christ to the glory of your great name. Yes. It's in his name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, last time I was here, I spoke to us a little bit about Moses and Exodus, and now we're talking about Moses again in Numbers. You may think, what's this guy's thing with Moses? Well, there's five books written by Moses, and Moses is in four of them, so he's showing up quite a bit in the Bible. And there's lots of very important stuff for us to learn here. Our New Testament reading was a passage from 1 Corinthians, which draws on events from Moses' life as a means of instruction for us.
Yes.
Now, last time I was with us, we looked more specifically at Moses' parents and some of the obedience that they showed. And I shared with us that obedience was simple. Often the obedience God requires from us is simple. It's not too hard for us to discover. But the Lord doesn't always require things that are simplistic. Though obedience is often simple, sometimes the solutions and what's required of us is not simplistic, and wisdom is required of us. The Lord wants us to develop in wisdom. Now, I want to give two examples of what I'm trying to communicate here, one from my life and then one just a more broad scriptural example of developing in wisdom. Now, I'm a child of the 90s, and things were done a little different then.
Absolutely.
My mom would go to get her hair cut when I was a very young boy, and it was not uncommon having me in the vehicle right outside. There's a window where my mom can see me, but have me in the vehicle, doors locked, car running, and what I would be left with was, Andrew, whatever you do, you don't open the doors for anybody, and you keep everything locked. It's like, okay, simple, I can do this. Well, after about 3 hours, well, it felt like 3 hours for me, realistically, it's probably about 5 minutes, I thought Mom was maybe having some difficulties and needed my help. I don't know what I thought I was gonna offer to her, but I thought I had something to give. So I get out of the car, but I remember what Mom told me was keep the car running and keep it locked. So I locked the door behind me, close it with the car running, and then go straight in. So one, my mom was not happy that I had come in. I had not followed that direction. She was quite upset. And I was like, "My mom, don't worry. I kept the car running and the door locked. I did exactly what you told me." And she was even more upset at this point. And what I tried to point this out was I did not have much wisdom. You know, I thought I was following what she said directly to the letter of the law, but it was not what my mom had intended. What she had intended for me was you stay safe and stay here. The rules were actually for you to stay here. You know, it required wisdom. Now, to look at this a little bit biblically, you know, God deals with his people differently throughout history. You know, he treats children different than he treats adults, and he even treated the nation of Israel differently throughout redemptive history. And I want to give one example. When we approach the book of Leviticus, it can seem very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you keep up with all of these rules and regulations? Well, this was the job of the priests. The priests had one job. I don't know if you've ever seen a mechanic or talked to a mechanic, and they can tell you every make and model of a vehicle, what parts are interchangeable between which models, which brands, and everything. And they don't even have to reference a manual anymore. They've just done it so many times, they know all these connections. So being a priest was actually very simple. You have 28 chapters in Leviticus, and not even all of them have to do with sacrifices. So learning how to sacrifice was actually pretty simple. But when you move to Solomon, who asked for the Lord of all things to give him wisdom, The first case he's given to test his wisdom is over two women, and they're arguing over whose child is this. And Moses' solution is, well, let's cut the baby in half. Like, there's no law in the Old Testament that Solomon can look to and say, hey, if you have two prostitutes, one has a baby, dies, threaten to cut it in half, and you'll figure out who their mom is. No, it required wisdom. You know, it required something going a little beyond what was written and applying it to specific circumstances. That's the type of wisdom God desires for us to develop. And I think looking at this episode in Moses' life and Numbers with the rock can help us understand this a little more. Now, for readers of Scripture, you should notice that an incident like this has already happened in Moses' life once. It happens in the book of Exodus. It's very, very similar. There are some minor differences. But in the book of Exodus, you have the congregation of Israel complaining. You know, we're thirsty. We're going to die of thirst. You know, Moses receives direction from the Lord, and it's take up your staff, go and strike the rock, and you'll bring forth water from it. And that's exactly what Moses does. He takes up his staff. He goes and he strikes the rock. Water comes out. Here we come again, and very similar. You know, the people of Israel gather together. They're rebelling, and we're going to die of thirst again. You know, at this point, we should be deeply concerned. God has provided for you over and over and over and over again. You should notice a pattern here. Like, why are you complaining? But Moses is actually the focus here. The Lord appears to Moses, and as we look at verse 8, you know, he's told what to do. Take the staff, you know, assemble the congregation, you, Aaron, and your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. And then water will come forth. So now essentially three things are actually commanded. You know, take up your staff, gather people together, speak to the rock. Mm-hmm. And we look at verse 9. It says, Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. So Moses has taken the staff. He's actually obeyed. He's obeyed step one. We look in verse 10. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. Okay, he's obeyed step two as we continue. And he said to him, hear now, you rebels. Just want to notice here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, you have what's called the Shema. And it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And encourages to share these truths and speak with your children of the Lord wherever you may find yourselves. These are the same words here. Just as when Moses is sharing from God, hear, O Israel, your Lord is one. He's saying, hear, you rebels. So we should be expecting something good to come forth. They're gathered, he's drawn their attention, and he's saying, pay attention to what I'm about to do. Because what I am about to do bears witness to who God is. And then he hits the rock twice. That is not what you were told to do, Moses. You were told to speak to it. Now, in the text, we're not explicitly told, you know, why did he try hitting it twice? Why did he not speak to it? But water comes out, and that's interesting. And I'll touch on that in just a moment. Water still does come out. But then the Lord says to him, because you did not believe in me, you didn't trust me, you did not uphold me as holy. And he says, Moses, your decision to do differently than what I required of you says something about me. Yes. You're bearing witness to something about me by your actions. And because of that, you do not enter the promised land. You don't get to bring this assembly in there. And in verse 13, you know, these are the waters of Meribah where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy. In the text here, there seems to be this idea that the Lord's punishment of Moses and Aaron is to vindicate his own name. Moses and Aaron have misrepresented him to such a serious degree. God has to intervene to show who he truly is. Now, so this is the story. And I think there are some important implications for us that I'd like you to think on and pray through over the next week. Now, one, God, he does want obedience and specific obedience from us. Now, the Bible tells us to develop wisdom. And as I referenced with the example of Solomon, wisdom sometimes is difficult to decide what to do. But just because it's difficult does not mean we have free rein to make decisions. Wisdom is never separated from God's revelation and commands to us. We have to start there as our foundation. Second, sometimes God's requirements are different in different places at different times. At one point in time, it was perfectly acceptable for Moses to strike the rock with a staff.
Yes.
At another time, it wasn't. And in the same way, as we seek to serve people around us and as we seek to serve the Lord, there are some things that are a wise thing to do with one person or at one time that are no longer wise later. There may have been something which was good for you to do when you were younger that now that you're older, you know, you probably shouldn't do that anymore. And last, and I find this I want this to be a point of warning that good results aren't always a measure of obedience. You know, Moses was ultimately forbidden from entering the promised land, but water was still provided. God in his grace and his mercy, even through Moses and Aaron's disobedience, he did provide water for the people of Israel. But just him providing water wasn't a sign that God himself was pleased with the actions. It was through an overabundance of his grace and mercy to them. Now, as a word of just encouragement, about a month ago, a few weeks ago, you know, I had the privilege of coming to a meeting for chapel speakers here at UGM. And, you know, Dr. Charles was sharing with us what's our mission here at UGM. And there are lots of things we do. But like at the very foundation, we are trying to lead people into a relationship with Jesus because that is where transformation occurs. All of our decisions, all of our various programs, and then even though throughout the day, everyone in here, all of you are doing something different from someone else. You are all pointing towards this ultimate goal of being with Jesus, following him, and being transformed by him. That is the charge we've been given by our Lord Jesus. So however we try to apply in our work here in serving others, all of it should be leading to that ultimate goal rather than that. It may look different for some of us at different times, but we can never stray from that original mission we've received from the Lord himself. Let us pray. Our Lord God, we thank you for your kindness in revealing yourself to us, your vast mercy, and just your abundant grace towards us. Lord, I ask that you help us all to remain steadfast with the charge that you have given to us. I ask that you bear fruit for the glory of your great name. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.